Anything combat with Johnny K.
But it's anything combat, though.
Welcome back. Commence the Anything Combat show. I'm your host, Johnny K. Today on the show, we got Christoph Jotko, former UFC fighter, now fighting in Octagon. He's got a massive fight up against Turkish fighter Karim. How are you, Jotko?
How are you? I'm fine. I'm after sparring today. You can see my eye little bruised out, but everything is all right. I'm in a pretty good shape and ready to win another win in the Octagon.
Bro, you told me that you don't care about, you know, Karim training with Alex Pereira and them grappling or whatever the fuck, right? You said that you don't care about that. Why don't you care about Karim training with someone that high level?
Because I train with the best in the world for a long time, and I know who I am, and I know I'm very good fighter, and I train with the champions every day. Like today, I sparring with a PFL champion. Tuesday, I sparring also with the Bellator PFL champion Johnny Eblen. So I training with people like this every day. So I'm very confident about this.
What was that process like? You know, you left the UFC, now you're in Octagon. I saw you fight in the FNC in, Serbian promotion. So tell me, what's that process been like, leaving the UFC, entering Octagon?
For the tournament, because it's such a good opportunity for me. I never lose behind the UFC, so I was pretty confident to go there, and now I know I'm going to be in a and I'm going to be in the finals, and here I am, you know, I'm in the finals.
How much time did you spend training in Poland? You told me you just train in the U.S.
Yeah, I stay only in the U.S. here, training American top team. I go visit Poland only like one time on the year to see my mom and see my family. But after that, I just stay here.
As you said, you know, you're fighting in this final for the tournament. How high, in terms of quality, do you reckon Octagon's MMA divisions are compared to other promotions now, like, you know, KSW in Poland and stuff, and PFL and the UFC? Where do you rank Octagon? Do you think that it can become the world number two under the UFC?
Do this. For right now, 100%, the Octagon is the number one in Europe, one of the best organizations in Europe. They do so many events. They have TV in Germany, I think TV in the Czech Republic, so they grow good. The level maybe of fighters is not that high like in the UFC, but I think it's going every year is going better and better in. Also, the level is much better, you know.
Do you think that they can get to number two internationally in terms of promotions?
Absolutely, because now we can say the UFC is number one. We don't hear about too much about the PFL. PFL, you can say, I think they're going to do only the last tournament. The last €1 million, my $1 million tournament next year, and I don't know what's gonna happen with this organization. So I think it's very possible.
You think right now, Octagon might have a better roster than the PFL?
I don't know. It's hard to say. If we talk about the fighter, I don't know. It's hard to answer this question, you know.
Okay. So with Karim, though, now that you've got this main event, this is a massive opportunity for you. I want to ask you, seeing that you fought so many UFC guys already, where would you rank Karim in where would you rank Karim's skill level compared to all the UFC guys that you fought?
I told you this. I can't tell you how I rank him because he never fight in the highest level. You know, he never fought in the UFC. He never fought in America. He never fought in America. He never fought with the tough guys like in the PFL or Bellator, and maybe not that Bellator, but like in the UFC. So he was fighting for a long time in his city. You know what I mean? No, the fighters, some fighters was not even close to UFC. You know what I mean? Or he fight with some fighters who was in the UFC, but have like one or two fights in the UFC, you know. So I think this is going to be a very good test for him, you know. If he think he's a tough guy and he think he's that good, like people think, we're going to see. We're going to see 17 January. I'm going to check this guy. I'm going to check this boy. We're going to see what's up.
Jocko, why do you feel like now in your life at 36 was a good time to pivot over to Octagon? Why didn't you just stay in the UFC?
It's a long story. Why? Because I have had some problems with my private problems. I have some health problems with my stomach. You know, I was throw up a lot. I have some acid reflux. My stomach was very, very bad. I can't even prepare for the fights. Because I was throwing, every sparring I was throw up. And then after I vomit, I can't even eat for like 2-3 days. When I fight Sean Strickland, I was on the fight week. I come there 86 kilo, and I don't even cut my weight because I was so skinny because I can't even eat. I was so sick. So, and I think my fight was not so good. It was boring because I can't even prepare good. I can't even live good. So that's why the UFC, after I lose with Brandon Allen, they don't never give me the contract, you know what I mean? But I fixed my problems, my private problems, you know. I have a divorce in this year also. When I started the tournament, I start my divorce. So my big stressful thing go away from me. I'm training now. I feel like I'm young again, you know. I feel like I come to UFC again and I start my journey again, you know. I feel like happy. I want to have training. I'm not sick anymore. So it's very bad. It's very bad timing for Karim because I feel right now very good shape. I think it's my prime. I'm happy. I'm healthy. And everything is very good in my life. So it's going to be a very, very tough fight for him.
Jocko, do you know how you got that stomach problem? Did you get an infection? Did you get injured?
No, you know, I do a bunch of tests. When I was in the UFC, I would do the bunch of tests, and they told me I have a acid reflux and I have a hiatal hernia, the hernia here. But the problem was I have a lot of nerves and stress with my ex-wife, and this was the biggest problem, why I vomit, you know what I mean? Sorry to say this, but it's the truth, you know what I mean? It's true. I can't even drink coffee in this time, you know? I can't even drink coffee because I was so stressful. So if I drink coffee before I go to training, I'm dead. I throw up and I'm dead. And now I wake up, I eat breakfast, I drink coffee. I drink 3 coffee on day and nothing happens to me. So I told you.
Hey, Jocko, do you see a situation where, you know, you might smash Karim and then, you know, you get a massive paycheck and then go back to the UFC later?
Absolutely, absolutely. I talk also with one, like a big, I don't gonna say the name, but I talk already with a big manager. But I don't know. We're going to see. Because I like Octagon. And if we have a good relationship, this is going to be good. So, of course, I stay in Octagon.
Hey, you know how you are 36. You still look young. You still look fit. But do you like the fact that now there's more options for fighters when they get older? You know, you can go FNC, you can go KSW, you can go Octagon. All these different places for older fighters to continue their career and sport.
Yes, but I think for me, I have 36 years, like you say. I think I'm going to fight like 2, maybe max 3 more years. And I'm going to... I have some plans when I want to make it happen, you know. I win this tournament and then we're going to think what I'm going to do next.
What do you want to do? Do you have something in mind?
I have something in mind, but let's talk after the tournament.
Come on, Jocko, please. Even if you lose, you win, whatever happens in your career, what do you want to do after?
I told you, if the octagon, I will really want to, if I win the fights, I will have the middleweight belt. I will try to come to the 205 and fight for the 205 belt with the Will Fury.
Now that's a good idea. Tell me, you know, you've had a lot of longevity throughout your career, and you've been consistently performing at a high level for so many years. So how do you think that you've been able to maintain your health and to be healthy in 2025 as you approach this next title shot?
The earlier the fights was not that hard for me, you know. I don't get hurt for the fights. I feel good with my stomach, like I forgot it about. My body is good. I don't get hurt for every fight. So I'm ready. And I was ready even for the 28th December, you know. I will ready next week. I will be ready to fight. But, okay, Karim is injured, so we need to wait for the next month, you know.
Do you think that this fight does more for Karim's reputation or your reputation?
Let's don't talk about this because I don't like this what happens, you know, but whatever. If this is going to help to Karim win the fight, whatever. Okay, let's do this. But I don't understand why the finals of tournaments was supposed to be in Prague, 28th December, and they switched for 17th January to Karim Engizek hometown, and we're going to fight in final tournament in his hometown, you know, a little bit not fair, but it's what it is. I'm not complaining. It's okay. I fight with the bigger stars. I fight with the Tyler Slaters in the São Paulo, Brazil. I fight with Scott Aska in London, in his city. So I fight with a lot of people in their backyard. So I'm not scared and I don't worry about.
Do you think Tyler Slaters was your best win in your career?
Yeah, I think the Tyler's weight, yes, because he was before he fight with me, he fight with Michael Bisping about the belt. He almost win, but he lose, I think, split decision. And then we fight, you know. So this was a good, he was in a very good shape when I fight him, you know.
So can you tell me when you left Poland and you came to the US, which camps did you start in? I know that you're at American Top Team right now. Were you always there?
You know, before I come to Florida, I go into somewhere. Like I was in the Montreal, Canada. I trained with the George St. Pierre. I was in the San Diego. I trained with the red hair. He was a crazy guy with the red hair. He fight with Anderson Silva.
Chris Lieben.
Chris Lieben, yes. I trained with Chris Lieben there. And then I come to Florida and I really like the Florida and I moved to Florida and I stay there, you know. I stay there for like 6 or 8 years. 8 years I'm here, yes.
How much training did you do in Poland?
You know, in Poland, I just training for my 13 fights before the UFC, and then I have two fights in the UFC, and then I move straight to, first of all, I was in Thailand. I live in Thailand for like a 1 year, and when I have a fight, I just come to American Top Team for preparations, and then I go to the fights, you know. This was my plans. Then I meet some girl, I get married, and I stay. Sorry, I stay here and I fucked up my life. Nothing now. Now it's everything perfect, but you know what I mean.
So in American Top Team, which people are you usually working with, like on a day-to-day basis?
On day-to-day basis, I don't even want to go there sometimes if I'm not in the shape, you know, because it's horrible for me. I train with like Johnny Eblin, Marvin Vettori, Jaroslav Amosov, Thiago Mareta, Bo Nico. Like many, many, many so good guys, you know, many so good. And another so many like Ikram Askerov. Like so many Russian that I don't even remember their name, you know.
And how have you seen since being at American Top Team? You say that's one of the best teams, you know, in the world. It is. How have you seen your development and your skill level improve? Was when you started American Top Team, was it very quick, your skill development?
I think not super quick, of course. It was not day by day. I would get better, but I think after like 3-4 years, I trained with Johnny Eblin a lot. You know, Johnny Eblin is like a wrestler. When he was 4 years old, he was already wrestling. So I trained with him a lot. And I think for like training with him give me like so much confidence and so much good skills on the wrestling. Also training with Mike Brown for so long, I would develop very good skills with the wrestling and jiu-jitsu and MMA and cage work and some new stuff what I never see before, you know what I mean? So I have my games, my style, my tricks and my stuff what I like to do, and I do this, you know.
What do you think was the impetus for the reasoning behind you leaving Poland to begin with? Did you want a better opportunity? Did you need more money?
100%. I was thinking this, like, if I want to fight with the best, I need to train with the best. This is what I do all the time. I train with the best people. I go to training, I do sparring, and I'm so tired. Like, I'm never, ever retired like this, you know? Like, training somewhere like Poland, okay, it's good. It's good. You have so many gyms, but you don't have so many good people on the one training, you know what I mean? You have one run, you're going to have a tough run, and then going to have two runs easy, you know? Here never happens to me. Like yes, today I'm fighting 3 rounds with Philip Lins and 2 rounds with Thiago Mareta, you know, like 5 rounds with the tough guys, top people, you know?
See, I've got a question for you. You know, those small teams that have 5-6 coaches and, you know, other fighters all focusing on one guy to improve this dude, right? And then you also have American Top Team where you have like 50, 60 fighters and everybody's trying to do the same thing. So what do you think, seeing that you have experience with this massive camp, do you think that the community leads to people helping each other? Because there's so much competition. Don't you reckon that a lot of people want other people's spot and, you know, spar too hard and not take care of other people because they want to get ahead themselves?
You know, in a gym like American Top Team, this never happens because Conan Silverio and coaches, we have also a lot of coaches, you know, it's, I don't know, it's 12 coaches or 15 coaches. And, you know, in the gym, it's more like a friendly family situation, you know what I mean? For example, if I spy, for example, right now, like I fight Kerry Mengizek, yeah? So when I look in Kerry Mengizek, okay, he's a boxer guy, okay. So I look in boxer guy, I look in stand-up guys, I look in strikers on the gym, you know? And then I do this to myself. I message them or I call him and say, hey, Thiago, you do with me 3 rounds? Okay, cool. You do with me 2 couple rounds? Yes, cool. And then we have the time when it's like sparring time and we go there and I already know who I'm sparring, you know. And also coaches, you know, you have a regular groups and also you have a little groups, you know, like Mike Brown. He do little groups Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever. He do 5-7 people or 8 people. 3-4 parts, you know what I mean? And they're training for like this, you know what I mean?
Seeing that you're from Poland, I want to ask you about the Polish MMA circuit right now. I feel, and from what I've seen, it almost looks like Polish's national sport is mixed martial arts now. You know, soccer is the national sport, of course, right? But from how much development we've seen with, you know, KSW fighters move on to the UFC. Like we saw that guy, he beat Patchy Mix recently, you know, and and, you know, Jan Błachowicz, yourself, so many Polish fighters coming in, right? Do you feel like MMA is almost like Polish's national sport nowadays?
I told you that. The Poland, they always was tough guys. You know, we always have a war. We always fighting. But we never have, I think, knowledge to training. So training so good and have like a good technique and everything. And I think right now is like the time when the Polish fighters coming to the UFC, coming to the different organizations like me, Octagon, KSW. And I think he's like a number one, number two, you know what I mean? Number one, number two, soccer and MMA is like a sports in Poland. Like, yeah, right, you're right, 100% right. Before, like, you know what I mean? Like before fire, the all MMA, I think, open, like make the big in Poland was Mariusz Pudzianowski, you know, the strongman. He was doing the fist fights in the KSW and everybody in Poland started watching them. And then, of course, Mamet Kalidov and Mariusz Pudzianowski, they grow very, very big this in Poland, you know.
What was your opinion on, I got his name up, Jacob Wickatz, when he fought Patchy Mix? What did you think about that?
You want me to be honest or you want me to lie?
Listen, you come on the show.
I think this was a good fight. I think it was a good fight. Wickatz showed a good skills in the jiu-jitsu, but I think it was too many attacks for the guillotines. He win the fight, good. What was the decision he win, you know, but... We're gonna see in the future, you know, those the debut in the UFC. So many people that lose or they look very bad in the first fight because they see this pressure, they see everything like it's nice, professional, and people get a little burned out, you know, before they come in the UFC.
What did you think about Jan Błachowicz versus Bogdan Guskov? You know, I thought if that fight kept on going, I think Jan Błachowicz, if they do a rematch, Jan's probably going to win that.
Yeah, I think so. I think Jan, for his age, he looked amazing for this fight. It was another round, one round what he lose. You know, Jan is old school fighters, you know what I mean? Because if he get up, he will be easy win this fight, you know what I mean? If he get up for the second round when he got dropped, he will be easy win this fight, you know? But it was a really good fight. I hope so they're going to get rematch and the Jan Błachowicz bring the win to Poland.
Jocko, you had 17 fights in the UFC. How do you summarize your time in the UFC? That's a lot of fights, a lot of experience. What can you say about your time at the promotion? And what lessons did you learn from that whole stint?
This was an amazing experience for me, amazing journey. And my experience maybe it was good, or maybe it's not. I'm not sure about still 100%. But I think my bad thing, what I was doing too many long breaks before the fights. You know what I mean? I should to fight more when I was younger. Sometimes I do some couple months break. I should to fight more, but also I have a lot of injuries. So I can say, tell this to the young fighters: respect your body. You know, you don't need to train like stupid 10-20 times on the week. You know, because you have only one body. Respect yourself, your body. You know what I mean? I get many injuries in the gym. I have one soldier. Surgery on my left shoulder, a surgery on my right shoulder, you know. So.
I've got a question about your, one of your original hobbies. Do you feel like the breakdancing helped you with the jiu-jitsu?
Absolutely. They helped me with the takedown defense. You know, I was in the UFC, the best takedown defense for a long time, but only because because I think with my breakdancing, you know what I mean? The breakdancing give me a lot of good balance, a lot of good, and I never can follow my back because I always follow my hands like a cat, you know? So I think it's absolutely.
Can I get your prediction on Sean Strickland versus Anthony Hernandez? I think Hernandez is going to kill him.
You know, I think Strickland is going to win the decision because Hernandez, not. I don't think so he's going to easy to take him down, you know what I mean? Maybe Sean don't never show his wrestling, but he was in also in the American Top Team. We train. Actually, I don't train with him, but he was training in the gym with Johnny Ablin, and Johnny tried to take him down, and he's pretty good wrestler, you know? So I don't know if Anthony Hernandez is going to easy to take him down and stand up. Strickland can keep it there with his pressure.
Jocko, were you a metal worker? Were you a welder?
Damn, you know a lot of stuff about me, bro. Yes, I was a welder. I was in a school in the welder. I was welding. And this is how I started MMA in the beginning. I was moved to Warsaw. I was welder there, make some little money. I started training a little bit. And then I moved. I make 13 fights, 13 wins, and then I move to USC, move to the bigger scene, you know.
Jocko, my final question for you is about your amateur record. So you had 70 amateur bouts. I believe you had 65 wins. So tell me, were these all MMA or was some kickboxing?
No, it's everything MMA. Damn, you know a lot of stuff. I was thinking scammer, bro. You're not scammer. Good scammer. You know a lot of stuff. No, this was everything MMA. MMA, but in Poland, when we do MMA stuff, for example, it's tournament. In one tournament, you do four fights. One fight, one round, 6 minutes. You have like, I don't know, so many fighters in your division, and then you have three, four fights on the night, you know? So I do this a lot. I lose only 5 times, and I lose 4 times for the one triangle choke because I never want to do. I was young. I just want to fight. So I never want to train jiu-jitsu. And every time, I have a fight in Holland with some Sweden fighter for the champion, so European champion. I drop him. He fall. I try to go to finish him, and he grabbed me, and he choked me in the final. You know, it was crazy. But like, the people choke me all the time.
Jocko, I've come to scam you, and I'm going to come to American Top Team to KO you now, all right?
No, come to... You sounds like a nice kid. Come, you can hang out with me. I'll show you the stuff, no problem.
That's all we have time for, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Jocko, for your time. Is there any final remarks you want to say to all the fans listening as we go into this massive fight for Octagon against Kareem?
To the fans, to the Kebab Angie Zek, don't worry about, I'm going to make the weight. I'm going to have the 184 pounds, 84 kilo to 83 kilo, 9 pounds. But just be sure you show up there, okay? Be sure you show up there because I'll be there. I'm going to be there ready waiting for you, all right? See you soon, boy.
Follow Christoph Jocko on Instagram. Link in the description. Follow Anything Combat. We will see you next time. Become a combatant.
Become a combatant.